November 8, 2018, is Watt from Pedro Show. For Peter Show. Hey, brother man.
Yeah, two weeks in a row.
Yeah, can you believe? Might be a beginning of a new era.
Yeah.
Or a continuation. People, we've been doing this 17 and a half years. All shows archived, TWFPS.com.
Close to 500 or so?
Oh, almost six.
Jeez.
Because while you've been in absent,
you've
been on the steroid. What for Peter Show steroid and
hotline. The lead.
Listen to that.
Oh, that's
that might be our guest from Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, welcome back.
That is me.
Bill Bryson. Welcome aboard, Bill.
Hello.
Thank you.
We start off the show today with Sunstar, the alternate version off of Sunship from John Coltrane, and then Convalescence with Quitters Never Lose, an earlier band of Mr. Bill Bryson. Bill, can you tell me your earliest musical memory?
Gosh, my earliest musical memory has got to be like AM Top 40 radio from the 70s. That's what was my soundtrack to my childhood.
And where was this?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Right. And
yeah,
what? In the older days, AM radio was big.
It was everything, man. It was so diverse, and it's just, I mean, a lot of schlock on it, but a lot of great music, too, and that's sort of in my DNA now.
Okay, Bill, what about in the pad? Was anybody in your family players?
Well, my mom would not admit to being a player, but she played the oboe in the marching band in college.
Whoa! I don't know many marching bands with oboes.
Right, exactly.
And so you know what they say about the oboe? It really cuts through. There's something about
sure
that
does.
Frequency, yeah. You know what else I heard about it? Since it's a double reed like the bassoon, a lot of dudes in their older years get strokes because you got to focus the wind so narrow.
Blow a fuse, huh?
Yeah, blow a fuse. Yeah. You know, it's a trip. That Familia Sangria in Barcelona, that big church that Mr. Gaudi made this fancy, still got another 20 years, I think, to build. You know how usually you see the angels playing harps? Well, there the angels play bassoons.
Wow.
So your mom played oboe. What about in the pad? Was there musical instruments, Bill?
There were. My parents were very good about just immersing me and my sister into any and all activities, and so piano lessons were part of that. Guitar lessons were a little bit of a part of that. And then I picked up the saxophone in sixth grade and played it in sixth and seventh grade. So there was, you know, there was a little bit of music around us all the time. The stereo wasn't on all the time. They didn't listen to a lot of music. They were, if you looked at their record collection, the biggest chunks were John Denver and Neil Diamond.
Okay. When you played sax in the school band, was it the marching band too?
No, just the concert band.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And what was it? Tenor?
Alto.
Little one. Okay. Not the littlest, but kind of ball athletes.
It's the easiest. That's why I picked that one.
But isn't all the fingering the same? Oh, yeah, you'll move less air.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
Well, John Coltrane, he started with the alto. Mm. And then after Clean Ed Vincent, what do you call it?
Blew his horn.
No, the time he played with him. Clean Ed told him, John, you should take it to tenor.
Wow.
And then later on, of course, everybody knows about him going to the soprano.
Wow. You had the Clean Ed Vincent. He lived in L.A. towards the end of his life.
John played for that man. Walked the bar.
Man.
That shit.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Mind blow. So, Bill, can you remember the first, since your parents, little John Denver, little Neil Diamond type, what was the first record you bought yourself?
Well, the first record I bought with my own money was a record I discovered when my family moved to England. We lived in London when I was in 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, which was 1979 to 1982. And like I said, I was a top 40 kid growing up in Indiana. So when I moved to England, I discovered Top of the Pops, which you might know about. And
TV show, with music.
TV show, yeah, but it was sort of, I assumed it was their equivalent to Top 40, but it was so different than what I was hearing in America at the time. And Boomtown Rats, I Don't Like Mondays, was a big hit when I first arrived there, and so I bought The Fine Art of Surfacing just after hearing that song.
So the first record you bought yourself was actually in England.
Yeah, I was 14.
And what about the first gig you went to?
Well, that was another cool experience. For me, in England, I'll tell you, the first concert I went to, my parents took us to see Neil Diamond, but when I moved to England, in London, my parents gave me a lot of freedom, and so I got to go to concerts whenever I wanted to. So I actually saw Ted Nugent at the Hammersmith Odeon. That was the first concert I saw.
Odeon, I think it's called
Great White Buffalo there.
I think what they call it, because I did some Stooges gigs there. They got another name for it these days.
Yeah, but they've changed the name, and probably
it depends who what beer company owns.
Corporate name now.
They call it the Apollo, the Hammersmith Apollo. That's what they call it.
Oh, really?
But in old days, like all them live records, you look at the credits, they all say Hammersmith Odeon.
Oh my God!
It's like on the West Side. So,
concert that broke the Who's volume level was at that little venue.
Right. In fact, with the Stooges, I did all of Funhouse with Ronnie on guitar, and then all of Rock Power with James Williams. I remember we were doing, it's getting near the end of the gig, the Rock Power one, and Ig comes at me and he takes his belt off. And I'm thinking, Ig, just not the buckle, man. Just he came up to me and he whooped the deck right in front of me. So, you know, show me this, you know, he's working the gig, he's working the room. But I was just saying, just not the buckle. So you're going to school there. Did you meet Kat? Did you do music at school there?
I did in the eighth grade when I got there. But I stopped because I was too lazy to carry my saxophone on the subway.
Oh, wow. Okay. You couldn't leave it in the classroom. You had to bring it home like for practice.
Every day, yeah. Okay. And I wasn't very good. That was part of it, too. You know, it was just discouraging. And I wasn't a big kid, and carrying that thing on the subway was a drag every day.
Yeah,
I threw it in the
towel. But you know what? Their subway's pretty good, huh? What do they call it? Tube?
Oh, yeah, tube, man. What a way to travel. I love it.
It's pretty efficient. SoCal. But with the earthquakes, maybe not so. I don't know. Right in December, I think Mr. Musk has got some big.
Oh, his.
Culver City, right? He's going to bore some big ass tunnel. To Hawthorne.
Yeah, a shortcut to work. Yeah. Didn't like traffic.
Right. So, what about the other thing, Bill? Like, after school, the garage band, basement band, bedroom band, that kind of thing with your school friends?
You know, I never got to do that. I had a friend that played electric guitar, and he would bring it over, and I like to make music, make sounds with it, but I have this genetic syndrome that makes my fingers inflexible, and so I tried to play guitar, but I could just never do it. And, you know, later on, I kind of configured my own bass with just two strings and could sort of make some music with that, but fingering with stringed instruments has never been something I could really do. And so I just kind of accepted that for a long time, and you know, until I was 30, I opened my club when I was 26, and a big motivation for that was because I couldn't play an instrument. I didn't think I could be a performer, and so I wanted to be around music and musicians. So I said, I'm going to open a rock club and do it that way. And then, you know, a few years into that, I got invited to be in that band, and then all of a sudden I realized I could be in a band and perform.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting a little ahead there. So, okay, so you're messing around on a guitar. The family comes back. They don't go back to Indianapolis?
We did go back to Indianapolis in 1982, where I finished high school.
Okay.
A couple of years. Yeah.
Because where I meet you is in Gainesville.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So we actually met in Chapel Hill, but that was just barely meeting each other when Firehose played back at the Cat's Cradle when I worked there.
Oh, what, like you hired me on the corner? I did a male prostitute thing. No. One of Frank Heath's, right? There was four Cat's Cradles. Or there are.
Yeah, I was there until 92. And when I moved here in 92, I left Chapel Hill, but I worked for Frank that whole time.
Yeah, Frank's great cat, man. Great cat. Okay. Because from there, and what made you, did you go from Indianapolis to Chapel Hill?
Yeah, well, I went to Chapel Hill in 84 for college.
Ah, okay. What, like Tar Heels?
Yeah, Tar Heel, yeah.
Okay. James Worthy.
Yeah.
Big game James. Okay, yeah. and then what motivated you to get to Tom Petty's town, Gators?
Well, it was a bit of a long journey. I graduated from college and actually went to medical school for a year and realized that was not my path in the future. And so I dropped out after a year and moved back to Chapel Hill to kind of regroup. And that's when I started working for Frank. And I also went back to school for some other stuff. And in that time, I don't know if you ever encountered School Kids Records, the record store.
Absolutely.
The guy owned it, Pepper, owned one in Gainesville, and he knew I was looking around the country for a place to open a club, and I had various cities I was going to check out, and he said, you should come check out Gainesville. It could really use a good club, and so I did what he said. And
you know, I always wondered, why did you call it the covered dish?
Well, I didn't really, and still don't think I'm that great at naming things, so I actually asked a bunch of friends for suggestions, and I have a friend in Chapel Hill named Mary Robinson Cruz who came up with that name, and it at the time anyway, it really embodied a lot of this sort of inclusive, southern, sort of welcoming, cultural sort of feeling that I get when I think about, you know, living in the South. And it's not necessarily related to music, but it is related to people coming together and communing over, you know, great things they bring to each other. And I think that applies to music as well. And so that was sort of the generation of that name.
Okay. I want to play something here. And also, the first time I got to share a stage with you was with this band, the Causey Whip.
薄い髪の彼の振り締め。 Say to me, you'll give me power, power and glory, but who don't know what power is, what power is. You think it's wisdom, but you don't know what wisdom is, because you're stupid, you are so dumb, so very foolish. Science, English, social science, mathematics. Home economics, sex education.
For Pedro Show. Yeah, that's
Causeway with Message from the Pulpit. And Many Birthdays, brand new. Animal Electric, Guided by Voices, I Love Kangaroos. Brand new from Midwest Medicine. Everything I Have to Offer. The Field Specters out of Oklahoma City with It's Only a Shower. Yeah.
Don't what need a shower. Don't need a shower.
But what a shower!
What kind of shower was that?
You know what? Everyone else is glad, too, because there was an odor to it. Okay. Bullets Are Balloons from Spokanistan with the system. Shumsky Zagar with Yavor. We're going to talk to him next month. Yeah, great. Great. Man. Wata with Angel out of Tokyo. Fallen Pebbles. This is your buddy, right?
Yeah, Jackie.
Jackie, I want to see her sitting in my mate's chair. And then finally, What Power Is by the Causeway. Yeah, you're telling me, Jackie there, he had some challenges too, and music helped him.
It sure did. It became his obsession, and I think it's his lifeline. It's everything he loves.
Right. And he's a big fan of the Garage 60s?
Absolutely, yeah. He's immersed in it.
Yeah, yeah, bitchin'. So, the Causeway, we heard a couple tunes there. This is where I first get to play with you.
Yeah.
After playing for you, I get to play with you, share stage with you, and the mastermind was a cat named Scott. How did you get involved?
Well, Scott's girlfriend at the time was a good friend of mine, and she knew that I didn't play any music, and he really wanted people who hadn't played much music to be in this band, and so she asked me if I wanted to be in a band, and I jumped at the chance, and he had some songs already, and he put the band together pretty quickly, and we had 4 practices and went on tour.
Wow, 4 practices. God damn.
Yeah. Beauty of naivete.
Yeah, of course, right, yeah. But that's actually one of the, I think, cornerstones of our movement, to get balls up like that, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it changed my life. I can't thank Scott enough and Tracy for lighting the fuse, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Scott, I'm very grateful, too, that you got built going. Explain to the listeners about the Causeway Wait. It was a little different than most bands, right?
Very much so, yeah. There was this underlying concept that was sort of based in, sort of the resentment, or like we were just trying to make fun of the sort of hypocrisy and the bullshit involved in modern kind of commercial Christianity. Scott's a pretty devout Christian in his own way, and we all took offense at a lot of the sort of right wing, Jerry Falwell kind of path to crazy right wing Christianity, and nothing against Christianity in its essence, but we just didn't see people behaving very Christian like in that. And so that's like an underlying motive and part of the sort of concept of the theatrics we did, and so it took form in our sort of stage performances. But it also was interesting because Scott resembled what's his name?
David Koresh.
David Koresh, yeah. So it was easy to sort of pull in
the Wacko from Waco. Yeah. That was on tour when that was going down. I-35, I'm going between Dallas and Austin, and there's some cat with the table on the side of the road that by the gas station selling little David Koresh dolls. You know what? This shit's going down.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, that's trippy, huh? Because with the wireframe square glasses.
Yep.
Actually, he spent some time here in SoCal with some musician, because he was a musician guy. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, people, kind of like some trippy kind of revival thing, but it was a put-on, you know, but you know what? For some reason, I always felt a Devo dimension.
There's very much a Devo dimension, as well as the B-52s.
Yes.
And Jelly Biafra, you know, everything.
Right.
Of those things, that was the musical sort of blanket that we were kind of jumping off from.
Right. And they had stickers, people, that said, the Causeway Way is not a cult.
Although everything about us was screaming cult. Yeah.
You guys were great, man. And they all wore these white outfits, and it was a pretty good package kind of thing. And how long did that go for?
We played from 96 through 2000.
Okay, so 4-year run.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And now Scott's painting. Okay.
Yep. Hey, but he's also had other bands, too. He has a band with his wife called Pilot Scott Tracy, although I'm not sure they're playing anymore. And Tracy's got a band called Silver Machine. I think they have a record coming out on Alternative Tentacles pretty soon, too.
Silver Machine. Was that at Hawkwind?
It could be real good. That may be where that name came from.
It might be a Hawkwind song or a record or something. And you know who played bass in that band, right? Lemmy.
Lemmy, yeah.
Yeah, they left. There's a notorious U.S. tour where they leave them. Bye-bye. And he used to sing like the high parts. He was kind of crucial. And also that bass, man. Wow. He was doing that shit way back. Yeah, he was bitching. Much respect to him. So, After the Causeway Way, was music over?
Well, I thought it was, but then my buddy Jay Holland from Pensacola, well, he's from New Orleans now, got in touch with me in the early 2000s, I forget what year, and he asked me if I wanted to be in this movie that our friend Henry Griffin was producing, And it's this short film called The Tortured by Joy, and it was inspired by the French film La Jetée. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a movie shot in stills. And so Henry invited me over to New Orleans to be one of the main characters in this movie, and we shot the whole thing in stills around New Orleans. And looking at it now, it's really great to see, because it was all pre-Katrina, and New Orleans is quite different now, and so it's a pretty great document, and it's a really interesting movie. We got John Lurie to do the narration, so it's a pretty cool production.
And you did music for it.
Well, that was the funny thing. It was about, the movie was about these two guys that meet at AA, and my character teaches the other guy how to play bass, and we form a punk rock band to kind of work out our frustrations with our substance abuse and trying to stay off whatever we're trying to stay off of. And life is kind of falling apart for the guy, that character that I meet, but we formed this band. And so after we made the movie, we said, well, let's really make this band. And so Jay wrote all the songs and the titles from the movie, and we got together in New Orleans and recorded the songs. The one you just played is from that session.
Yeah, this band is called The Convalescents.
Yeah, and we put that music together and decided to do a tour with it, with the movie. And so we did a short tour where we would show the movie, which is only about 10 or 12 minutes long, and then we'd show it on a sheet in the front of the stage and then tear it down. And we had costumes in that band too and played our characters to the T, and we just burned through our set in about 12, 15 minutes and had a really great experience doing that.
So the set was as long as the movie.
Exactly, yeah. And that was something we were really
So the whole fucking, the whole enchilada was like a half hour, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when I first saw the Ramones, you know, after 3 hour arena rock shows. It was like, whoa. Like, that's one ELP song. Hey, we're at the end of the first hour, November 8, 2018 edition, Walk Pedro Show. Special guest, Bill Bryson. Hold tight for hour two. November 8, 2018 is the second hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. Started the second hour off with Time Is Now from the Causey Way. Bill there.
That was Jordan a really Scott. Fun song. I recorded that one in Athens with Andy Baker at the studio that he was partners at the time with David Barbie, I think you know David.
Dave Barbie, yeah, Bass Man and Sugar, Bob Mould.
Yeah, and he's got the Chase Transduction Studio in Athens where the Causey Way record both our records for Alternative the Tentacles.
Yeah, kind of sounded trippy there, Bill. You got your hand over the mic?
Nope, I'm right next to it.
Okay, now it's better. But it sounded like kind of a butt dial. Okay, and then...
Let's start.
Yeah, then we had Vetsonova with the urban poem, Meditation Trio with Aho, Desert, NW Live, The Nightingales with The Crunch. This is from a couple days ago. The Gears, I think their last gigs ever. They're in Spain. And Don't Be Afraid to Pogo. And finally, Kick the Monkey Out by Convalescence. Now Kick the Monkey Out makes sense. At the AA meeting, they're kicking the monkey out. Okay, I was wondering about that time. Okay, so after that tour and stuff, you're back in Gainesville. And you get a ranch, right?
Yeah, well, that's a little later, but... I thought I was going to be leaving Gainesville at some point, and I had a 2-year plan to leave Gainesville and move to New York. And about a year into that plan, I had an epiphany, which I've never had before in my life. I was just walking down the hallway at my mom and dad's house, and I felt like I got a literal lightning bolt strike in my head, and it stopped me in my tracks and said, "You're supposed to stay in Florida." And so I had to think about that for a while because that could have just been fear talking, but it was a little bit more than that. And I think I was destined to stay here because shortly after that, I bought some land. I'd been looking to invest in some land, and I found some land that I really liked, and that has turned into a 200-acre cow farm at this point where I live now.
And, you know, most people, I think, when in their mind they're imagining Florida, it's more like Everglades. You know, and I've stayed at this ranch. It is a kitchen place.
Did you know about cows? Did you already know about cows?
What'd you say, Matt?
Did you already know about cows?
Any what cows?
Did you already know about them?
Oh, man, I just kind of backed into that. The farmer that lived next door died in a kind of a dramatic way. This giant live oak got struck by lightning and split in three pieces the night he died. But rather than let the hillbillies take over the farm next door to me at the time because they wanted to use it for hunting, and I don't have any problem with hunters, but I just don't like random bullets flying around. I decided to take over the cow farm, and it came with a cow hand, so it didn't all fall on me right away. But yeah, that's how it all got started.
Wow, cool.
Okay. And what about Grow Radio?
Well, Gainesville, even when I was preparing to move here in 92, it had no college radio at a university. The University of Florida is here, and they have 50,000 students and no college radio, which still comes to my mind. And so for years, we were just trying to get the students to push to get a station started, and they just couldn't get anything going. And so at the time, we thought I actually was involved in starting a low-power FM station as well in the late 90s. We still have that one here today. Of course, I can't think of their call letters right now. But anyway, I stepped away from that because for various reasons and decided to start an internet radio station, and that's what Grow Radio is.
Right. And what's the URL?
It's growradio.org.
So GROWARADIO.
.org.
Yeah, okay.
So I want to go back to the cows for a minute.
Matt wants to ask you about the cows, Bill.
You ever play music for the cows?
Yeah, occasionally. Cool. I've got a little, Bluetooth speaker I'll take out on my ATV and hang out and play music for them while they're chomping away at the grass.
They like it, huh?
They love it.
Yeah, that's cool. I see some videos. Those cows love it. Love the music. Come running for it.
And listen to them chomp on grass.
Do they like a particular style?
I think the calmer the better.
Yeah, more calm.
Makes the milk taste better.
Pink Floyd had record. This is right after Sid left, and I think it's called Adam Heart Mother.
Yeah,
right. I think it's like some spacey trip out on cows or something. The other side's got some collection of songs, but the first, and then they were with the symphony, some weird kind of, I guess Deep Purple did, everybody's got to play with the symphony in those days. And yeah, so it's like some kind of mixture of rock and, yeah, and there's a cow.
Yeah.
The Adam Hart mother. Okay. That's a trip. Didn't mean to sidetrack you. So, the idea of Grow Radio is, yeah, give Gainesville a voice.
Well, yeah, we were trying to create what was missing, you know. I got to be a DJ at WXYC in Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh.
And, really, I mean, college radio is really where my musical mind opened up. After those years in London, you know, that told me there was something different. And then when I got to UNC 89.1, I just tuned into that and just soaked it up like a sponge and got to be a DJ for a couple of years, which really opened me up. And then moving down to Florida, not having any of that was just, it was like a gut punch. So, you know, I had to get music the way you could get it at the time. Lots of mixtape.
Brother Matt just showed me he has this Pink Floyd album. There's cows on the back, too.
Nice.
The whole thing's cows.
Okay. They're happy.
Okay. And they do look happy. They look like, I think they're called Holstein. Black and white?
Yeah, those are for milking. Mine are for beef.
Okay.
Oh, good.
And most of mine are Hereford and Angus crosses with Brahman and Mashona.
So you got a bunch of castrated boys then?
Those are the ones that we're eating, yeah. The steers.
Killer barbecue? Get some killer barbecue going.
You got big barbecue?
Yeah, I got a huge one, and I got a steer that's being processed right now. We'll have fresh beef in about a week.
Whoa.
Nice.
Okay. You know what we got coming right now? Another edition of the Spin Cycle with Brother Matt.
Cool. We'll be right back.
made you do what you just did to us right now with your spin cycle?
Well, that ended on some bad math, but okay. But just knocking the rust off of being out of whack for a while, and so I'm just trying to just get back in action.
Yeah. Okay.
So we talked about Todd a little bit in there, so I got some Todd action. Toys
Todd
Kill,
people, Recess Records, some, Todd Congelier. Toys That Kill, 5-year plan. He is a mover in this Pedro town, even though he's from Torrance.
He's happy.
No longer a Torrance student.
And had Thrill Seeker started off just because someone gave me that record and checking
yeah,
it out. Other local dudes, Dave Gaspar, okay. They've been around for a while. They've been happening. I think they're playing Whiskey pretty soon or just
Whiskey
passed.
Whiskey and Go-Go.
Yeah, so they've been
I heard it's pay to play there.
I don't know. That place always trippy.
You know, I was doing some things. Guys invited me up there for the, like you'd go up there and do 3 songs. It was first at that bowling alley at Highland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Hollywood, and then they switched it to the Whiskey and Go-Go. And, yeah. I ain't been invited back. But maybe that ain't happening anymore. They're sweet guys. They're all beautiful guys. Matt Starr. Yeah. I think he plays with, who's that bass man from Buffalo? Billy Sheehan. Mm. Yeah. Mr. Big, right? Mm. Or something like
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry for that. Strong mope. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, November 8th, 2008. Tina Dishwap, Pedro Show special guest, Bill Bryson.
Yeah.
Hold tight for hour 3. November 8, 2018. It's the third hour. The Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Show start off the third hour with Compound Lessons from the Causeway. Then we had a Amiophone and Sawako. Really, Sawako. Sorry, going this side. With Kazuyo. No. Shit. Going this side again. Kazuya Atsumoto. And that's something live called Recording a Meeting Part 1. Trippy. I don't know how you practice a piece like that. But Convalescence after that with Chuck Horrors. Bill, who's Chuck Horrors?
You know, I don't know. You'll have to ask Jay. Okay. He wrote that song. He may not be a real person, but he's a real character.
Okay. Now, we talked about Grow Radio. Actually, the main theme I want to talk to you about is this book, but I wanted people to understand the man who did this book, what went into his music journey to do this. So tell us about this book.
Well, the book came about through through that journey you're talking about, but I had this club in Gainesville, the Covered Dish, from 92 to 2000,
yeah.
And we kept a Polaroid camera locked and loaded behind the bar all the time, and we would take candid pictures, not just the staff, but we would hand it off to customers and artists that perform there, and so you get all kinds of different photos over the years, and we would staple these photos to the wall. So we had, you know, during the time the place was open, probably over 1,000 photos on the wall at a time. I think we'd take them and we'd replace them, and we just keep taking more and more pictures. And so when I closed the club in 2000 and I was, you know, packing everything up, I pulled what photos were left off the wall and put them in a box, and there was 600 or 700 of them still, and stuff went out of storage for a long time. And back, you know, probably about 10 years later, I opened up the storage unit to clean it all out and found that box, and I opened it up, and the aroma that came out of it was like a time warp.
The aroma. It had an odor to it.
It smelled just like the club did, and it took me right to the place and time where it was. And so when I started looking through them, I got excited because there was something pretty special about them. And, you know, some of the pictures were at that point about 20 years old. And I'd spoken to my friend Michael Galinsky. I don't know if you knew Mike. He was in the book Loopyhead.
Yeah, I remember. I remember Mike.
He's a photographer and an artist. And he made this book several years ago called Miles Across America. That I was leaning towards the mic. Yeah, Michael took photos of malls in America when he was on tour with his band in 89 and 90 and put out this book. And so I was inspired by him and talked to him about these photos and how they might be good for a book. And he told me a story about his book. He had actually approached a publisher about 10 years after he had taken the photos, and the publisher told him, you need to wait 20 years before you put out something like this, because 20 years is really the amount of time for things to get a little cultural weight. And I think he was right, because these Polaroids, being 20 years old, really, you feel something when you're looking at them. There's some history and some energy and something special about them that, you know, that's made me want to make a book out of it. And so that's, out of those 700, I picked about 100 that really seemed to capture something special, like an energy or just a feeling or a sign of the times kind of thing. And there's something universal to them as well, although they are specific to a place and a time in Gainesville, Florida. I think they speak to a lot of what was going on around the country in rock clubs all over the place.
And it's, obviously it speaks to you personally too, right? Because
of course,
you,
yeah,
you
yeah.
see those, yeah, yeah. But then for other cats, it's kind of, yeah, maybe a document.
Yeah, I think it's very much a document. In fact, somebody I know from North Carolina who never even came to the club made a comment about it saying, I don't know, I know all these people in this book and I've never met any of them, you know?
Right, yeah. Now,
I represent a certain population during that, you know, 8 or so years.
Okay, Bill, where can people find out about this book on the internet?
Well, it is, I sell it through a website, www.allofusarenow.com. It's also available on Amazon if you want to go that route.
All of Us Are Now.
I'm trying to get your buddy Andrew to distribute it for me.
Oh, yeah, right, right. That's Andrew Rossiter, a Toledo guy. But he lives here in Cali now, and Org Music.
Org Music, yeah.
Right, and they put out a lot of stuff. Andrew's a very adventurous kind of cat. I hope that comes down.
Me too.
Because, you know, there's something about it, being a book, I think, being a physical piece of a thing. Of course, we got the flicker and the fake look and the shitter and all that instant ham, but there's something about a tome. For one thing, it's a lot easier when you're in the head. I always got a couple going with bookmarks, you know, a couple pages at a time, you know. Last
it's
for the year.
Definitely good bathroom reading. I can test that.
Here, I want to play Te Como Vivo from Cosby.
Oh, yeah, on A.
Te como vivo. call When the Flesh Fails.
Hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
I can't hide.
Oh, please say to me, you let me be your man. Please say to me, you let me be your man. I want to hold your hand. No, don't let me hold.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Kaziwe, Te Como Vivo.
Ane Diaz.
Yeah.
Gotta give a shout out to Ane, she's the singer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great job. Jim Carroll after that, something live, When the Flesh Fails. One of his wives is my lawyer, Rosemary Carroll. And she said, "What, you want to know Lazy?" She said he conked in the conk sack with the fucking piss bottle. Probably a little warmer, too. Probably two for jobs. Yeah.
Are you talking about Jim Carroll?
Yeah, that's what she... Rosemary went to Duke, huh? That's part of that triangle. By the way, the medical thing. Durham, Chapel Hill, they call it the medical triangle, Raleigh.
Research Triangle Park.
When you told me about you do a medical school. Then we had Fuxedos with I Want to Hold Your Hand, Ashtray Heart, which is great, Cat Beef Hearts, huh? With Maureen, and finally the Kazi Way, Science Made Me a Homo Sapien. Bill, what advice would you give to somebody? Because you've had a righteous journey and it's still going.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give?
In general?
Like a young person getting into the shit, yeah.
Just be cool with people. That's the general advice.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
In fact, we even need more of that.
He's being special.
And Bill, what's your future plans?
Future plans are exciting. I mean, trying to promote this book, get this stuff out there. It's the first publication. I have a nonprofit called Number 9 Productions, and I do lots of stuff through that. I have an art exhibition kind of group. We do big art exhibitions through that, and we that was what through Grow Radio there was that, and I produce a TV show called Cypress Sessions, which is similar. It's inspired by Austin City Limits, and it highlights musicians from Florida as well as the state. We take people around different parts of the state and film them there as well. And so that's in a Number 9 production as well. And this book is, like I said, the first publication in the publishing arm of the company, so we're going to start putting out more books as well.
Yeah.
But But on the, I mean, in the moment, I'm really excited because I just started renovating this theater in Gainesville, the Florida Theater, which is a beautiful old venue that was a movie theater in the 1920s. And it had a great history in the 70s and 80s as the Great Southern Music Hall. I mean, everybody who was kind of a big name and playing 1,000-person venues played there. It was like B.B. King and Johnny Winter and Earl Scruggs and Pat, I think Pat, God, what's his name? Boom Boom Out Go the Lights. I think he recorded a live album there.
Travers.
But, Travers? Is
yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Snorting yeah. whiskey and drinking cho-cho yeah. or something.
Yeah, yeah. Snorting whiskey and drinking cocaine. Yeah, well, that's the deep history of that building, and it's been sort of tortured for the last 15 or so years by different dance clubs, and I'm making it a music venue again.
Man, you are happening. You got all kinds of cool shit going on.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's very, very inspiring, Bill. I really, really.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really into it. I think what you're doing is kind of infectious. And you know what I mean? I think, someone like you, it's more about the doing than the saying. It's not just talk. You like to do shit. You like to get stuff done.
Yeah, I lead by example.
Yeah. And it's been a great, great honor to have you on the show, truly. Brother Matt, thank you so much for your always. Essential aiding and abetting.
Pleasure.
It's been November 8, 2000. What was the wisdom? We should be more cool with each other, right?
All the time.
Be excellent to each other.
That's right. Yeah, I like that a lot. Bill, thank you again, Brother Matt. Sweet. November 8, 2018 edition Bach Pedro Show. It took me two times to get through that. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.